Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Professor Marjorie Hershey, who teaches political science at Indiana University in Bloomington. Her research focuses on political parties, campaigns, and elections. She is the author of Party Politics in America, the Major Political Parties Text, now in its 15th edition. Welcome to Background Briefing, Professor Marjorie Hershey.
Thank you.
And are we looking at the twilight of Senator Richard Lugar? Is he going to be the last of the moderates?
Well, he may not be the absolute last of the moderates. There may be another buffalo out there on the plains somewhere, but it certainly looks as though we're very likely to see the defeat of Senator Lugar tomorrow.
And what is the reason for this? Is it because of money, because the Tea Party candidate is getting all this outside help from the Club for Growth and other super PACs?
And I think it's never one factor. There are a whole series of factors. Senator Lugar is certainly very widely respected in the state of Indiana, but he has been representing the state in the Senate for six terms now. That's really an extraordinarily long period of time. He's 80 years old. He has not lived in the state since he was first elected. That's been about 35 years. I think that the outside money has clearly made a difference. There's been a tremendous amount of money that has been put into this race by the Club for Growth, by Freedom Works, by a variety of other groups. And Murdoch himself raised a fair amount of money within the state.
And Murdoch is his opponent. Secretary of State?
He is the state treasurer.
State treasurer, sorry. And give me a sense of his Tea Party credentials then. Why is he considered the Tea Party candidate?
You know, it's very difficult to tell exactly what is the Tea Party these days. He is considered the Tea Party candidate because of the fact that he is extremely conservative. He is a strong fiscal conservative to the extent that he wants to cut out such government spending as the Environmental Protection Agency and a whole series of pretty far right-wing stands. But it's very difficult to tell what the Tea Party is in Indiana right now. The Tea Party movement in 2010 had at least a fair amount of grassroots support. It was probably unlikely to keep it because grassroots movements just tend to die out unless they have some central direction. And what the Tea Party is in this race, quite frankly, is the centralized big money sources of 527s and super PACs from Washington, D.C.
Well, the Club for Growth, of course, have an enormous amount of influence, not so much because its leader, Grover Norquist, has any great charisma. He's something of a joke. He's often referred to as Liberace with a wife. He conducts these strange little soirees with the sort of the Washington closeted gay mafia, and so he's quite a insignificant character. But he has enormous amount of money behind him, big corporate money. And that's the real agenda here is why does Karl Rove, and Karl Rove's been more pragmatic, you know, he supported, he was against the Tea Party witch candidate in Delaware and the one in Nevada that Harry Reid defeated. So this time around, they seem to be wanting to go with a Tea Party candidate, which could run the risk that the Democrat might win in the fall.
Well, I think the Democrats are thrilled that Murdoch is doing so well, and as they should be. It clearly will be much easier to defeat Richard Murdoch. I'm not suggesting that it will be easy, but it would be a lot harder to defeat Senator Lugar in the fall. Senator Lugar gets a lot of support from independents and from Democrats. Richard Murdoch will not. That probably means that, at minimum, the National Democratic Party can expect to force the Republican Party nationally to put more money into this race in the fall than it would have otherwise chosen to do, and that it would have had to do if Senator Lugar had been running again.
So, again, I'm speaking with Professor Marjorie Hershey, who teaches political science at Indiana University in Bloomington, and she's the author of Party Politics in America, now in its 15th edition. What is the reason, though, for Senator Lugar's demise? I mean, obviously there's some obvious things on the surface, that he's a policy wonk, not a political tactician, and apparently he has not listened to the political pros who said, you know, you've got to come out strong early and not let these Tea Party people get the traction. They've pointed out what happened to Bennett in Utah, et cetera. And Lugar's messaging has been all over the place, whereas Murdoch seems to have stuck to fairly core themes. But the argument that the senator's long tenure has caused him to lose touch with his state and his conservative principles seems to be working, particularly when Lugar was forced to admit that he no longer had a home in Indiana. I mean, why didn't he just rent a room?
I think that Senator Lugar has not been terribly concerned about the strategic aspects of Indiana politics for quite some time. I think he has had his heart in foreign affairs. He has spent a great deal of time working in a bipartisan manner with relatively moderate Democrats to try to decrease the stock of nuclear arms around the world, to try to do a lot of good in terms of foreign policy. That's what's important to him. What is not important to him is spending an awful lot of time doing the kind of grassroots work in Indiana that would have gotten him reelected again. I think that he certainly was aware, after Senator Bennett was defeated in Utah by very conservative forces, Senator Lugar was certainly aware that he would be the next to be targeted, along with Orrin Hatch and some others. But I just don't think it's in him to try to do anything necessary in order to do the kind of grassroots organizing that would have been required.
Well, you would think, though, that Senator Lugar would have gotten the message that after the 2008 elections, Indiana's 11-person congressional delegation consisted of five moderates. Lugar, the moderate Democrat Senator Evan Bayh, three Blue Dog Democrats, Representative Joe Donnelly, Brad Ellsworth, and Barron Hill. And now there's only Donnelly and Lugar left.
Yeah. I think that what we're seeing is not necessarily a long-term trend in Indiana. I think that in 2010, there was clearly a move to the right, and it seems to have been able to sustain itself for a whole series of reasons, not all of which are due to its great strategic wisdom, but due to a number of circumstances that have come together. I think that Indiana is a state that probably will go Republican again in the fall, but it's not as far right as Richard Murdoch is.
So what kind of a chance then does Donnelly have, the Democrat who is going to run against Murdoch? And some people seem to think that this will be a repeat of what happened in Delaware with Christine O'Donnell, and in Nevada with whatever her name was.
Well, I'm not sure that Richard Murdoch has witchcraft in his past. That certainly would make it a lot tougher for him, but he would certainly be favored, there's no question, in the Senate race in the fall. Nevertheless, I think that it all really depends on the extent to which the economy improves during the course of the next 6 months. There is a strong conservative Republican candidate for governor, Mike Pence, who is a member of the House of Representatives currently and is leaving the House in order to run for governor. He has done very well in his own congressional district in Indiana. He has more name recognition than his Democratic opponent, or his likely Democratic opponent, does. If it turns out that Mike Pence is able to get an awful lot of Republican votes out, then that will certainly help Murdoch. But there's no question that the Democrats will be much enhanced in their likelihood of taking over that Senate seat if Mr. Murdoch is the one who wins the primary.
And could Richard Lugar try a third-party run like Lieberman did when he lost the Democratic nomination and ran as an independent?
I think that would happen when pigs fly, Ian. This is not who Senator Lugar is. He has been a very loyal party representative over the years, and I just simply can't imagine him running as an independent. If he did run as an independent, I suspect he'd win.
Well, but at this point, he's encouraging Democrats to vote for him, isn't he?
Yes. Over the weekend, campaign has been calling Democrats and independents. Indiana's primary does allow you to state at the polls which party ballot you would like to accept. Now, if you are a Democrat and you state that you want a Republican ballot, there is likely to be a Republican local official present who can challenge your ballot, but that probably isn't very likely to happen very often. So the percentage of crossover voting in most elections is relatively low, maybe at most about 10%. At the moment in the polls, Murdoch is at least 10% ahead of Lugar. Now, it's difficult to trust polls in primary elections because the turnout tends to be very low, and a lot of people tell poll takers that they are going to vote in the primary, so their vote is counted in the poll, but in fact they don't show up to vote in the primary. So we can't be sure that those primary polls are accurate, but it looks as though Murdoch has enough of a lead that it would take one dickens of a crossover vote to make a difference.
And why are they more motivated to vote for him and not for the favorite son?
Well, I think that an awful lot of people on both sides of the aisle in Indiana have had a great deal of respect for Senator Lugar over time. He's behaved in a very bipartisan way. When Evan Bayh was in the Senate seat that is now held by Dan Coats, Evan Bayh and Richard Lugar had a joint constituent service or casework operation, even though Bayh is a Democrat and Lugar is a Republican. They considered it more efficient to work that way, and I think that got him a great deal of credit with a lot of independents and Democrats in the state.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us. It does seem like the statesman will lose and the conservative will win. And again, I'm just absolutely amazed that statesmanship has become a dirty word in the United States, but perhaps it's only in Indiana.
Among some people in Indiana, please.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
I don't mean to tar you with that broad brush. Thank you for joining us.
You're most welcome.
Bye-bye. Again, I've been speaking with Professor Marjorie Hershey, who teaches political science at Indiana University in Bloomington. Her research focuses on political parties, campaigns, and elections, and she's the author of Party Politics in America, the Major Political Parties Text, now in its 15th edition. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with Sister Simone Campbell, who has recently been singled out for the Pope for criticism because she has been promoting radical feminist themes incompatible with the Catholic faith and not pushing church teachings on abortion, contraception, homosexuality, and the male-only priesthood.
You're nothing but a dirty, dirty old man. You do your thinking with a one-track mind. Talking about heaven, glory, but on your face is a different story. Clean up your rap, your story's getting dusty. Wash out your mouth, your lies are getting rusty. Can't believe nothing you say, 'cause I'm around and I see what you